Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
We know there's power in our numbers. We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C., not extremist Bernie Moreno. If elected, Moreno could make the Radical Project 2025 playbook a reality, endangering our democracy and our hard-won rights and freedoms. Together, we can stop Moreno and his allies from reversing everything our ancestors fought for: Social Security, voting rights, and more. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of life-saving drugs like insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Get everything for your next project at Menards. Tackle tough jobs with Loctite Power Grab. This all-purpose construction adhesive is easy to use and bonds to a variety of materials. Plus, it's high strength, paintable, and reduces the need for clamping with zero-second instant grab. Save big money on Loctite Power Grab at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in Black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Thank you so much for joining us. Apologies for the delay. We had some funky stuff going on the tech side on my end as I get my studio together here, but delayed and not denied here as we swing into our SmackDown post show. We thank you so much for being here on this beautiful Friday night. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. I know we're delayed, but you don't need to be with your support. You can hang out with us. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It'll help us in the algorithms. And of course, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much going on in the world of wrestling. We've got PLEs coming up. We've got pay-per-views coming up. We've got more contract news coming up. A TNA release that was granted earlier today. All sorts of stuff going on. But to talk about SmackDown and to hang out with me this fine, fine evening, we've got Alex Cardoza as always. Alex, how are you?
I'm so happy to be here today. Listen, a couple things went great today. I went to my very first Halloween event out here.
Okay.
Things are starting to ramp up here in the Carolinas. Fall in the South is something different, man. It's like a Hallmark movie. And the most important thing, my friends, is right. Let me just rip this off right here, is that, you know, we went early voting today. You know, boom,
hell,
I got
yeah,
my sticker.
Hell
got my
yeah,
sticker. All right. Over 300,000 strong for early voting. Record-breaking numbers. Make sure you go out there and do your business, my friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Get out and vote for sure. Listen to whatever podcasts you want carefully. I won't say too much more about it, but we're going to get into some SmackDown. I hope you all have been well. I just wanted to also say thank you guys so much for the support. I know I had posted yesterday that my uncle had passed away, and you guys were so awesome about sending in some love. He dealt with schizophrenia his whole adult life. So wow. If you care to make a donation, there are a couple of really great charities out there. I know some people had DM'd me when I had posted a couple links to the schizophrenia and Psychosis American Association, I believe it is, that they made donations, and that just meant so much to me. I know there's a lot going on in the world right now with natural disasters and just people everybody knows that needs help. So the fact that anybody bothered means so much to me. So thank you so much. I just wanted to thank you guys off the bat, and also just wanted to thank the crew that is here. I skipped the ROH post show because I was a little sad about it, and I had so many people stepping up and checking in today. Our graphics team, our editorial team stepping up and things that I normally do. So just very, very thankful for the team here at Fightful as well. But happy to be talking about some wrestling. Tim McFowell starting us off with Chaz here saying, I didn't hate tonight's show and Rampage looks boring. So here to support Bangs and Cloud Connections. Condolences, Kate. Well, thank you so much, Tim. Tim, always so supportive of us. I really appreciate the condolences and the kind chat from you, but we actually have a lot to dig into. I thought this show was a pretty good show again. I thought last week's SmackDown was really great. I didn't love the bait and switch on the Carmelo and Andrade thing. That's kind of a bummer, but we did see, of course, Jey Uso returning to SmackDown, which was a big deal, and overall some great development. And I gotta say, it felt like tonight was a statement episode about what they're expecting tag team wrestling to be in WWE moving forward. Never been a problem with the talent, but you got to have the booking to back it up. So that's what I'm waiting to see. But two really great, great tag team matches on the show tonight, Alex.
Yeah. Different, I might add, because it's been a struggle bus.
Boy, howdy has
this,
it. Yeah.
For this whole, for this whole division, but We're here. We're gonna talk about it. I personally, if you don't mind me throwing this in there, I thought the show had a lot of it felt like a wave, a lot of ups and a lot of downs. If you know what I mean, a couple of things happen here and there.
Yeah,
but we'll get to it. You know, this is what the show's all about, my friends.
That is what the show is all about. So hang on for this ride with us. Of course, the biggest news probably coming out of the show. Motor City Machine Guns making their long-anticipated debut. So very exciting, speaking of beefing up that tag team division. But let's start from the beginning here. We get the Jey Uso return hitting kind of off the bat here. You're getting, of course, Bloodline bookend of tonight's show per usual when you have the pieces around to do it. But we get an Acknowledge Me. And Solo saying that you're looking at the present and the future, your bloodline and tribal chief. Solo has created a bigger and stronger family and the bloodline. And there's nothing that Roman or Jimmy can do about it. And he says, we get Jey coming out, which was, I think, an anticipated surprise. It wasn't so obvious, but if you watch Raw, you could kind of see how they're probably weaving things back and forth. I would be shocked if the Bloodline 2.0 didn't eventually cost Jey his IC title. But I love that Jey acknowledges here that Jimmy came to Raw and he didn't want any part of it, but he did want to kind of go after Solo and talk about what's going on with the Bloodline. He just didn't want to do it through Jimmy because why would they be on good terms, right? And Jey says he doesn't really want any part of this with Jimmy. And we do have Solo also saying that the beatdowns are going to continue unless Roman acknowledges him by the end of the episode. I love what we get next from Jey Uso and him just kind of pleading with Solo to consider what he's doing. And he acknowledges he has his own issues with Roman. I think that's very important to this story. And he says, look, I left the Bloodline. I became my own man. I even won the IC title. We get some You Deserve It chants. He says, yes, I did. But that's when it stops for Jey. He can kind of empathize with where Solo's coming from, but it stops at the Ulafala. He says it's earned and not something that's taken. And he even says, you want to end Roman's power, fine, but don't divide the family in the process. Solo calls out Joe for Jay for yeeting, which I very, very much appreciate. And says that he's not trying to end the family and to stop calling him little bro, which I liked. He said that they have the bloodline in place, but he's the tribal chief now, and says, are you in or are you out, basically. And Jay says, why do you have to go and get all these other pieces, the Tongans and, of course, Jacob Fatu, if you're trying to unite the bloodline? There's a reason they stayed away from Jacob, and he's going to have to knock his ass out, which I liked. That almost felt improvised, which I thought was cool. But I kind of liked this. I love particularly Jay saying, yeah, I wanted to get to the bloodline, but I didn't want to have to do it through Jimmy. I don't have any regard for him, but I do have things to say about this situation. And I also like Solo saying, look, I wasn't trying to break up the family. I have this whole family here. And then kind of the counter from Jay saying, if you were trying to keep the family together, why'd you run out and get all these other pieces? So I thought a strong way to open this. And Alex, the question that everybody wants to know, yeet or no yeet?
I'm gonna yeet tonight. Okay. I'll tell you why. I don't want to yeet on anything right now. So what I do want to say is this. Everyone, what is the one thing that everyone loves to watch on television as of late, even through the last maybe 10, 15 years? And I'll answer that for you so you don't have to think too hard, my friends. It's reality trash TV, right? We love families coming after each other. We indulge in shows like Real Housewives of New Jersey, New York, California, whatever, and so on and so on, right? So we like to be a part of watching a family go through a struggle. We do. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a family that has been divided for the better part of the year now. And we're watching all this unfold. So we're eating it all up. I'm eating it all up. I'm okay with it. When he looked at Jacob and said, and you stop looking at me because I'm going to punch you right in your mouth. I was like, well, maybe I've said that once or twice to someone so I can relate. Especially in family.
I feel like because Jacob Fatu has been this silent centerpiece almost, like this has been something that's really productive. And I feel like the reactions for Jacob Fatu are so hot that it made a whole lot of sense for Jay to call him out in the process. But yeah. You know, normally I don't go to ad breaks this early in the show, but I got to say, like, if you want to yeet, but you have no yeet, if you need a little bit of help with your yeeting, if maybe you're not yeeting as long as you want to be.
Oh, shit.
You dealing with a nosy mailman all up in your business about what you're ordering, what you're getting? Well, don't worry about it with BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. It ships discreetly. Discreetly. Fortunately for you, because the mailman's going to want to know what's going on. He's going to be delivering that mail to your house. He's going to hear all these sounds. He's going to be like, what's going on there? Well, I don't know, because this package doesn't say anything, but I have a feeling the package in there is saying something, and it will be, because of BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Helps get you that main event performance and confidence. And you get your first shipment free when you go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL. Like I said, same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but much more affordable and in a chewable. Take their online quiz, and then when approved, it ships straight to your door. My gosh. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Mind your own business, mailman.
Sean Ross Sapp shooting on the mailman in that. My goodness. But, I mean, when the segue's there, I have to go to that. I'm sorry it was early, but... The and yeet or no yeet. Have a problem,
even if you have a problem shooting. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, God. We're adults here, friends.
We are. It's Friday night. We have fun over here.
Loosen up. You know, have yourself a drink. Pop a blue chew. Let's go.
We do have some more love rolling in from you guys. Thank you so much, Bad Robot, saying hello, favorite post show. Well, hello, favorite robot. Would just like to say I love Batista for no reason in particular. Yeah, same here, but kind of bummed we won't get the dream match, Pretty Deadly and Motor City Machine Guns, but save it for Mania. Love to you both. We're going to talk about the tag action that we got tonight, but it was nice to finally see Pretty Deadly back in the ring. I know Alex is excited, not just for the in-ring, but the fashion, but kind of what I had said last week about Chelsea Green. I think one thing they've done very well with these more comedic or silly characters, which I am a proponent of in wrestling when we're laughing with them and not at them, mm-hmm. is let mm-hmm. them show out in the ring so that we can do that, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the dumpster jokes probably overstayed their welcome with Chelsea because I'm sure she showered at some point in between, but, like, she also got to show out in that match, so that allows us to let us take them seriously as performers but not take their personalities too seriously, and I think that is good stuff. Tim with another chat saying the Bloodline is finally getting interesting again, and so is Jay. I'm no yeet, but only because one of the most interesting characters during the OG Bloodline has been one-dimensional. Things are turning. Yeah, I am in full agreement with that. I felt like they took Jay from being one of the most interesting characters in wrestling, I mean, ever, because he was there from the beginning of the Bloodline stuff to kind of the end of where Roman started handing things off with Cody a little bit more. And I found that frustrating because I liked the layers. So when they disappeared and we just kind of got a fun entrance and him being silly, like, that's less for me. Do you feel like we're on our way back to maybe a more in-depth Jey Uso now that the story's kind of picked back up here?
Yeah, but how long will that last for, right? So, we're ramping up because we know Survivor Series is around the corner. So we need to ramp this story up for it to make sense when we get everyone in this cage, double cage, right? Then my whole question comes to after that, like, what happens? What are we doing? What are we planning for? Because we know that Roman Reigns right after this, it's essentially WrestleMania season. So he's going to have to move, right? All these stories are going to have to now just kind of break up a little bit because Roman will go do his thing. He wants the belt. Where does, we'll you know, Jay go? Yeah, so I think personally, I love what I'm seeing, but I'm scared of what will happen afterwards because I'm gonna be really invested.
Yeah.
And when I'm really invested, it's like when you binge watch a show you really love, and then all of a sudden it's over, you kind of feel like you're parting with the cast. I feel like I'm gonna part with my OTC and whatnot, what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that's gonna be. After Survivor Series will be really clarifying because I don't know if they have a plan yet, but you've got The Rock
right? You got the bangs and all those scoops.
Insider bangs over here, but
insider bangs.
Not at all. Not at all. Wow. Let me tell you, of all the jobs in the wrestling world that I could possibly want, this is the only one I want. God bless Sean for doing scoops. I'm so glad that ain't my
insider
job.
Bangs is a thing.
Now it's a thing. Now it's a thing. Yeah. But I hear things. The idea of getting them confirmed and publishing them makes me want to vomit. No, thank you.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But
there's also, like, this to me, there's the very real life piece of this of Roman's going to be part time in all likelihood, right? This is the most we've seen him in a while. Cody is in his late 30s. The Rock is, shouldn't be a long-term champion. You've got Cena's retirement in play. Like, eventually you got to start making stars out of these younger guys, and I think they've been doing that. I think they're raising them to do that. But come WrestleMania season, when you're talking about the title picture, what does that look like? I think is a very, very good question. And this I agree with from Don, too. I think this is the most interesting the Bloodline's been in a minute. But he says, this SmackDown was good. My only problem with WWE right now is that it seems like they are becoming repetitive. I feel like I've seen this ending way too much. And we're going to talk about that ending in a moment. But that's kind of the tricky thing here, right? Is you're doing a story where Solo is mimicking Roman Reigns. And to appropriately do that, you're kind of retreading some of the same ground that we've already seen, right? I think building to Survivor Series makes this all a little bit more interesting. But it does make the week-to-week feel a little repetitive. Little repetitive. Thank you so much for all this support out the gate.
For sure.
Very much appreciated. So let's move on to our first match of the night. We have DIY beating the Street Profits and our favorites, Pretty Deadly. We love Pretty Deadly around here so much.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong Cowboys, two first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
So nice to see them back in action, and I like DIY winning. I liked a lot of this triple threat. I like getting to see, you know, Pretty Deadly in action and them reminding us how good they all are. Way too many schmazzy finishes still going on. Like, and this was one of them. This one at least has a purpose, I will say that. This is a little less paint by numbers, but you have Montez Ford making a pin the same time as you have Ciampa taking a pin, but obviously only one of them is legal, and that's Ciampa. So DIY gets the win, and they kind of start acting a little bit heelish here. And the Street Profits being set up to maybe chase around, I think, is a good thing. Mm-hmm. But there's some wrestlers that I look at and I say I would simply make $1 million with them if I had them on the roster. Montez Ford is one of them. In ROH, it's Trish Adora. In AEW, there's a few. Takeshita was definitely one of them. He's getting pushed now. In WWE, Montez Ford is one of those guys. If they're going to stay faces as a tag team, that's fine, but you got to create some really compelling tag programs. Obviously, with Motor City Machine Guns coming in, there's all sorts of interesting stuff. And we do get to DIY and Motor City Machine Guns being set up. Makes me think DIY is turning heel out of this. And Alex, like, of all the dream matches that are there, you're kind of kicking off with one, right? Like, DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns is something that if you told me 10 years ago, like, give me something you want to see, that would be on the tag team list of things I want to see. So good and bad with this. I'm not one for schmazzy finishes, and we got a few things there tonight, but I thought the match was great, and I was just so glad to see Pretty Deadly back in the ring.
Yeah, you know what? It's been a minute. It's been a minute. I don't like the way my boys are getting played. You know what I'm saying? I want them in more, like, I know that they're being used a certain way. I know that they're there to be a certain way. But, like, they're so good in the ring. And I guess I'll give it time and see where it goes. But I think that they have the ability to hold the tag team division. I mean, they're freaking charismatic as hell. You can build stories around them. They remind me of the early days with Fandango and
Tyler Breeze.
Tyler Breeze. How good were
the
they, man?
The Fashion Files.
Oh my god! And then, like, it just poof, disappeared.
Kind of did. You know, there's this continual thing that we talk about on the show, and I cover NXT, so I understand I might be more invested than some people, but the NXT handoffs have not been good, and that is not just with singles competitors. You've got Carmelo being heated up finally. You had Bron Breakker, who was around the main roster before the official draft even, and he finally got pushed. But pretty much everyone else has not really been. Tiffany was kind of before that wave, too. I guess you could make an argument for her, but, like, man, they've got to get better at those handoffs. I think they are, because if you're watching NXT now, you can kind of see where the handwriting's on the wall with a few people that'll be called up next and find places where they could go. But Pretty Deadly seemed like a victim of that for a little bit. And while they are silly, they do have like a very high potential, I think.
Yeah.
The same way with the Outrunners or MXM on AEW, I feel like them winning some really prominent matches, maybe even a title, and then just getting wrecked by a really badass team. Like, in my head, when I see the Outrunners catching fire and maybe people want to capitalize on it, I'm saying, okay, belt them up for like 6 weeks and then have Beast Mortos and Roosh come in and annihilate them. Pretty Deadly is kind of one you could do that too. Like, ride the wave of them being hot and then make a heel tag team with that. But I'm with you. I would love to see some sustained momentum for Pretty Deadly as well. But seems like we're heating up the tag division, which Tim says, money's for tag team wrestling and DIY versus Motor City Machine Guns. I think the good to come out of this is that DIY really needed something fresh. Like, the tag team title reign was so underserved to how good they are. I prefer Ciampa as a heel just because that's just my preference. And I feel like the good of this is we get that dream match pretty much off the bat, right? I mean, can't hate on that. Can't hate on that. So some good stuff there. Do you have an affinity for Motor City Machine Guns, or are you more like...
I'm learning as I go. I was not a TNA watcher. Haven't really been since, like, and I wrote this online since like maybe 2006. I think I lost touch with everything that was happening there, you know. Sure. And it's just hard when we're already watching like 15 hours of wrestling to kind of like try to keep up with anything else outside of what quote unquote mainstream is. Sure. You know, so but I am, I go like a good professional wrestling fan and media entertainer here on Fightful. I used the Jugal machine. Sure. Started reading up, and they have an illustrious career that could possibly, this could possibly be like their final hurrah, and I'm here for it. You know, I'm here to see everything that they're going to be bringing, and they look like they can be coaches and people that can,
for sure,
that can grab these younger tag teams that are going to be making their way up or whatever the case may be, and kind of like really build it up somewhere higher than what they've, because WWE tag team division has been,
it's been props. The tag team titles have been used as props, like R-Truth and The Miz, and
right now
a badass team holds them on the SmackDown side, but this is used for the Bloodline story. Like, the tag titles aren't used as a standalone on their own. The Raw titles, right. God, I think they've been defended once since Judgment Day won them, maybe twice. Mm-hmm. Rough. It's rough on the tag team front. So I'm so excited for the talent that's in this division. But to your point, like, we got to get the booking followed up here. For those of you who don't know Motor City Machine Guns, you probably do if you're nerdy enough to watch a wrestling podcast, but inviting all fans in as we can.
I'm not nerdy enough.
Your background of your studio begs to differ, sir. But I will say wrestling nerdy specifically. You know, I think Motor City Machine Guns are largely credited with being formulaic and such an important part of foundation of modern tag team wrestling. So when you see guys like the Young Bucks, most notably, they had some really incredible rivalries before AEW was even a thing. They largely have popularized kind of the modern tag team style wrestling that we've gotten to know and love. So to your point about them eventually being producers, like, if this is a final run and then they go to NXT to raise some tag teams properly, I would not be mad about that at all. So we move on to Nia, who's confronting Bayley and Naomi here. Tiffany Stratton is out due to alleged illness, which I thought was a fun wrinkle in the story to throw out. Nia calls out Tiffany for tending to what's going on the Raw side, paying attention to Liv Morgan and her greasy boyfriend, which I thought was a very, very funny thing for Nia to throw in there. And she says, well, I guess we can't have this match tonight because my partner isn't around. And because Nick Aldis knows how to run a damn show, Nick Aldis says, we've got a pretty deep roster here on the women's division of SmackDown. I think you can go and find another partner. So I thought this was good. I think they did a good job kind of continuing to subtly sow those seeds of dissension. And I feel like the Nia title reign has been very effective for her, pretty effective for the division as far as talent rotation. I would like to see them freshen it up a little bit because Bailey's been hanging around it for a really long time. But Tiffany's obviously a huge part of this. We saw Chelsea Green and Piper on the periphery of this for a little bit, right? So good for Nia, good for the division. Probably one of the better paced stories that they're telling with this kind of Tiffany Stratton slow burn. So I had no problem with this. And we said get more women on screen. We get to see Candice LeRae later. What did you think of just this segment? We'll talk about the match in a minute.
Yeah, I like you, I enjoyed it, and I'm waiting to see, you know, I think they should slow burn the Tiffany thing because we still have, what, 3 more months left in the year, and if, you know, as pieces start moving and, you know, they're going to want to start 2025 somewhere. I know. We are 25 years out of the year 2000. I want everyone to understand that.
Makes me feel so old.
Yeah, but anyway, but yeah, it's, let it burn. Like, why do we need to rush things in professional wrestling all the time? Like, why can't we just be a little patient? Especially with something like this, where Nia has been doing the best work.
Of her career for sure. I will say this, and this is not something I thought I would say about WWE, even a year ago. Not everything has to be long-term storytelling, though. Like, we are seeing almost exclusively long-term storytelling, I think, except for the mid-card title picture on Raw. But, like, kind of everything has slow burns. And everything, in my opinion, and this is something that I'm seeing a lot of in all of wrestling, there's this really fine line you have to walk of making booking logical and still being predictable and interesting enough without abandoning making sense, right? Like, there's so much that becomes paint by numbers for certain booking decisions to make sense that sometimes it just makes you do the wrestling math in your head, and then every weekly television show becomes really predictable. So I would like to see them challenge that a little bit more, and I would also be okay with, like, some stuff maybe not being so long term. Like, the fastest moving thing I think we have on SmackDown is a best of 7 series, and that's been going on for a while. So
do you feel the same way I do?
Like, I like having these overarching stories, but I'm like, I could actually use a little bit more movement on the short term side, which I never thought I'd say with WWE.
Yeah, you know, I know that we see we do see that a lot of the time on AEW. Like, we see, like, these short things, just things that just pop up, happen and go. If we don't see it, I mean, we used to see it a lot in WWE where things kind of, we used to question it. And now it's like they're heavy on either or. They don't just pick, you know, that kind of fun middle ground. But yeah, I'm with you. I would like to see some things that are quickly turned around and just, you know, whatnot. It doesn't necessarily have to be like flipping titles either, just within storylines.
Yeah, and I think there is value to hot potatoing some stuff because we know Cody ain't losing anytime soon. We know Gunther ain't losing anytime soon.
Right.
Jay just won. I could see them flipping that back to Braun. LA Knight, you took so damn long to get there. You better not take it off of him anytime soon, or you better hot potato that too. So I think there's some stuff going on. I am glad that we've gotten away from has to be year-long title reigns for literally every title.
Right.
Like, we are seeing that be a little bit fresher. So
yeah.
Just Ricardo saying it's Friday. You know what that means. I'm at work. Well, we thank you so much for chiming in from work. But guys, get in those super chats and humper chats. We are moving through this episode of SmackDown. We thank you so much for spending your Friday night with us. Motor City Machine Guns, of course, appearing on the show. Very, very exciting move for them. And I think could be an exciting move for the division. But let's keep moving along here. We get more women's action with Lash Legend defeating Piper Niven, which I have mixed feelings about. Very happy for Lash Legend. She's been kicking around NXT for a while. Bianca and Jade are looking on, and there's a lot of I think healthy hinting. What I would like to know is, like, are Jakar Jackson and Lash Legend just on the main roster now? Because they did nothing in NXT about that. And I think from what I saw in NXT, we saw a ton of improvement from Lash Legend. She was someone who always had an incredible upside from the charisma standpoint. Her strength is insane. We all saw the spot with Otis, like if you were watching NXT, how incredibly strong this woman is. But there was still just like a lot of fundamental wrestling things to put together because she was so new with this. So she's not someone that I was like, get her up to the main roster right now. They just didn't even have her having reps in the ring on NXT all that much. Like she just hasn't been wrestling all that often. So if so, I hope there's a very clear plan for her and Jakara. These women's tag belts floating between all three brands, I think, is necessary and healthy. So I think that's good. But it also kind of makes Piper Niven look like a bit of a chump here because we saw Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson lose in 2 minutes to the tag champions before. And for Piper Niven to take the loss here just felt like a disadvantage to somebody who does really great work, but they only give her anything when they're going to Scotland. Like that, that's what it feels like. So mixed feelings on it. Very happy for Lash Legend. She clearly put in a ton of work in NXT. She improved rapidly. And I'm very happy for her to have this, but just some ambiguous stuff going on in that picture, I guess. What did you think of this match? And what do you think of kind of the overall implications of what we got going on there?
I'm with you. I want to see a little bit more of stability, I want to say, on exactly what you know, where they're going and what they're doing. You mentioned the ladies that just came up. I think they at this point just keep them there. Why? There's no real reason to kind of like flip flop them. I think you start building them up, right? Why not? The little that I did see of them in NXT, you know, led me to believe that maybe they were ready to come up. To be honest, I don't know. That just maybe because I don't watch NXT that often, but when I was watching and saw them, I'm like, all right, maybe, you know. And then I saw them up on SmackDown, I'm like, oh, this makes sense. But that's just to me. You are the expert in NXT, so
I don't know if I'm an expert, but I do cover it every week in the silliest way possible. So I'll take that. But yeah, I think kind of the bummer from the NXT side is these two are a part of a group called The Metaphor, and their leader Noam Dar has been out for a really a long time, and they might be gone before he gets back. So
I know,
just kind of a bummer there. But Will making a good point, saying to be fair, the Meta Girls did face Damage Control in NXT, so I think this is the other part of it, is like the women's tag titles all got absorbed into one. So this also could be them not moving up fully. This could just be them trying to highlight that
meddling into
this,
as
this belt continues to get defended here.
Are the women's tag team titles, are they, so they float around all three brands? Do you feel like they have a better chance of them being have more time and better matches at NXT as opposed to
because the women's division there is so robust. That's
what I thought too. Okay.
There are some weeks they get more screen. Look, I'm not shy about the fact that the booking on the product is not for me. I'm not a Wild West booking gal. The screen time that the women get is sometimes more than the men. It's oftentimes close to 50-50. They just had this huge infusion of women's talent there in Roxanne and Julia and Delta on the way. Like they've got a lot cooking there. So I like them floating through all three brands. I would love an AEW if AEW had women's tag titles that floated there and ROH and maybe New Japan Strong. Like, that would be something that's really cool. I would like to see that.
Cool. I was thinking the same thing, so I'm glad you kind of...
I think it's good that they were all absorbed. I think they could do a better job of spreading those out across all programs. For the gals, but Will saying the problem was Vince's short-term booking would make no sense and will make us mad. P.S. Lash is hella strong. Yeah, it wasn't short-term booking so much as insane booking, like just careless booking. Like it wasn't, they had a short-term plan. It was, let's have a rematch because we can't think of anything else. I always compare it to, if there's any South Park fans in the chat, the manatee idea balls that they would have for the Family Guy episodes.
Yes.
That's what Vince's booking felt like toward the end. It was the manatee idea balls. More support from you guys. Thank you so, so much. Me, Norma, saying, hello, Bangs Clavicle Conglomeration, the BCC over here. Acknowledge your original tribal beef. Now let's crank. I made my own tortillas for brisket tacos. How was wrestling? I love that.
I can't take that. I acknowledge your tribal beef. That is...
Throw up the ones. Throw up the ones. That's... We love being enormous around these parts.
That's going so many ways in my head.
I already played the Blue Chew ad. We can't.
No, I know. I know. It wasn't even like this. Just beef. God.
The tribal beef, baby.
I can't that look at meat saying, the same way again.
We love Meat Normus. He's so supportive. He's the best.
Yes.
Bad Robot saying there's a difference between long-term storytelling and stories that take too long to tell. It's good having a balance. Not every story needs 4 months. I've been saying that across all my wrestling post shows for every brand for a while. There's a difference between long-term storytelling and dragged out programs like some of the Judgment Day stuff. I'm like, can you have them defend the titles ever on Raw? Tim pointing out way better diversity and representation in NXT. I will say, from as a white woman but who has eyeballs, like, it's not my place to be an engine of that conversation, but I can speak to the fact that Obafemi was the longest reigning North American champ there. Trick Williams is the world champ and had been back and forth. Carmelo Hayes had an incredible title reign there. Like, there is a fair balance of diversity and representation, in my opinion. Listen to Black Voices about Black issues. Always, always, always. Guys, thank you so much for the chats.
Word.
Let's keep it rocking and rolling with, oh my gosh, people might hate me for this. I thought this Cody promo was the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. Oh my God. Human Ambien in this promo. I was so bored. I saw
somebody say that they're so dry right now. I was just laughing my ass off. I was like, man, that is so vulgar, but funny at the same time. It was because it came from a female.
There you go.
Wrestling space.
For starters, I know Cody loves to lie. He said it, but them hyping up the design of this hideous belt, stop.
Can I tell you
the belt
something?
Is terrible looking. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah. The way that he just went on and on about wanting to, that he has to be. I understand that they're paying him a lot of money. And I understand that they have to hype this up, especially because they are paying them so much money, right? Because they don't want to look bad in their partnership and investment here. But God, like, I don't watch these pay-per-views. And I have my own reasons why.
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically the Saudi Arabia ones, you mean?
Yeah, those. Yeah. You guys can... dive deep into my history of as to why whenever you want to, but God, I was just like, dude, please stop. Like, between the first time that I ever heard bigger than WrestleMania, which pissed me off so much, because how do you take your marquee show and freaking step on it and bury it like that because you got blah, 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 you know, and now the most prestigious, because, you know, you've heard Corey Graves on the announce table announce it's 57,442 diamonds. I'm done. Good night.
I'm very tired of Cody Rhodes and CM Punk. Oh my God, the houses are so packed. That you in the cheap seat, knock it off.
Yeah,
like we get it. We all read it. We've seen it.
Yes.
I get wanting to play into the crowd, but this like this faux rock star. You guys have been great. Thanks for so much. I'm done with it.
Yes,
it does not make me want to see you fight anybody when you do this much of this. My kingdom, pun intended, for a Cody promo that doesn't involve like a history lesson or mentioning his family. And to his defense, I don't think he was the problem here. I think it was really poorly written and really boring. And
when you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And this title doesn't really mean anything. Like, let's be so for real, okay?
I know.
Like, this title doesn't mean a lot. But on Raw, you had a pretty healthy exchange between Gunther and Cody. Gunther not here tonight, but, like, he barely said anything about Gunther. He kind of put him over, but this, like, I have to tell my 3-foot-tall daughter that I won this completely meaningless shit. Oh, my God.
Stop.
Not for me. Not for me. Some people loved it. Like Riccuccino, who does our AEW show, was like, man, Cody could sell a ketchup popsicle to a woman in white gloves. I felt the opposite. This made me more uninterested in the match.
All you had to do was listen to the crowd. You put anything, listen, nothing against, like, I'm not coming off as a hater. I'm not trying to be a dick. But it's just the fact that
I'm honestly, like, I want to see Gunther versus Cody. This promo is not why. Like, I want to see that match because they're both great in-ring storytellers. But I thought the promo on Monday where Gunther kind of said, yeah, man, I don't really have anything bad to say about you.
Sure.
He was like, you're bad at picking friends because look at what Kevin Owens did to you. But, like, you back up your shit. Like, that's
less is more. Less is more. And Gunther gets it. Less is more. He goes out there and tells you that's it.
It's so helpful when it's two guys that are great at wrestling instead of fighting about bracelets or whatever. Like,
right.
And the nickname Butch. And, like, these, like, your world champions should have respect for each other. But I have to tell my family about the proud lineage of this belt that is completely superficial for a very specific set of shows. So special, in fact, that they already had a belt that has never been defended. That was created years ago. This I thought was outright bad, and I don't think it's Cody Rhodes' fault. I think it was poorly written, and I think this just was, I don't know what you would have done with it to make it better, but
yeah.
But this is really it from Bad Robot. Cody eliminated Gunther from both Rumbles. Pay that off. Wrestling is not that hard.
Sure.
Yes, the first time around, they basically had a match between the two of them at the end of Royal Rumble. And, yeah, no real follow-up on that. I was human Ambien, this promo was.
I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know, man. You know, supposedly you got people that, you know, there's more involvement now with the wrestlers and the writers, right? Supposedly it's all, we're building campfires in the back and singing Kumbaya and roasting marshmallows, right? So why couldn't you just sit there and be like, bro, this seems long and it seems like I'm like panhandling and like playing with the crowd and can I just be a little bit more like myself?
Hopefully saying nothing doesn't mean you said anything.
I was just
meat on the bone. No meat on the bone. With
no
this
pun
one.
Intended.
Enormous. Yeah.
Enormous. You got lots
not
of
Cody's
meat on
best.
Your bone.
I'm sure the match is going to be great. Those two are some of the best in-ring storytellers in wrestling. But if this was supposed to get me excited for that, it did not.
But we would 100% if you and I were sitting here talking about me and you come on every Thursday night and we review Law and Order. That's our job, right? And if Law and Order has a dragging segment or a dragging part of it where it's just like a scene didn't make sense, we would respectfully put it through the ringer. Listen, sometimes I just feel like they just put anything in front of that crowd and that crowd just.
They're excited
like,
for
this
Cody.
Is the greatest thing
him.
I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, just be a little critical, like, boo it.
Or just like, I mean, honestly, a no reaction is really like the death of it. But it's good that they're excited for Cody. It's good that live crowds are excited to watch wrestling. But this was not for me. But I'll tell you what is for me.
Oh?
Safe security connections on my wireless.
Oh, okay.
My internet.
thought she was talking about me.
I want to secure my router. I want to secure my phone. I want to secure my internet everywhere. And darn it, sincerely, NordVPN, if Fightful Select is the best $5 in the game, like, NordVPN is the best VPN in the game. Use the code Fightful. You'll save yourself a whole bunch of money. I'm going to have Sean Ross Sapp tell you about it instead.
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
Sincerely, one of the best partnerships that we've ever had here. You can save so much money, especially if you go multi-years. They're the best to us. Please let them know you found out about them through us. They're sincerely just such a wonderful partner to us and such a wonderful service to use. Strongly, strongly, strongly recommend. But guys, we are moving along with SmackDown. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. We've got plenty more to talk about over here. We get this KO promo with Randy Orton confronting Nick Aldis. Kevin Owens doing what he does best. We have him. Sorry, I got distracted by our visitor here. I didn't know if he was popping out quite yet, but this will not be the thing that Alex Pulowski has to complain about. But KO saying, you know, he's frustrated with WWE for telling him not to show up. He's sick of Cody Rhodes, which I tonight was very sick of him, but I love the complexity of the relationships that he's had. He is more effective in his car with a cell phone than most are with a mic in front of a live crowd. He's just the freaking best at this. He always justifies his heel turn so well. I love him incorporating the very real contract buzz that he has going on right now. Wrestling Observer had reported, I don't think we've confirmed, that he's re-signed with WWE, but stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com to be sure about that news. But I loved this. And then we get Randy Orton confronting Nick Aldis after Orton had turned on KO, which KO had also referenced in the promo that he had cut. I love all this. I think this is stuff that's making the most sense. I'm just honestly kind of surprised that this is Randy Orton as a babyface for as long as he's been. I would have thought he's the guy to turn heel. He works so well as a heel. But what have you thought about this entire through line we've been getting?
I'm with you. Are you going to bring in Alex? Hold on. You can bring him in. Let's let everything
sure,
go away.
I'll bring in Pulowski.
There
we'll
he
get
is.
His hey! Thoughts too.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Like, wait, what? I completely lost my chain of thought when I saw the screen go blank. What are my thoughts on? Sorry.
KO, Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, no, I don't, this whole promo that he did in the car and wherever he was at, it was dope.
Yeah,
I really
great.
Enjoyed it. I think that, first of all, this matchup between him and Randy could get really ugly fast.
Yeah.
Like, I see these two pounding the living flesh off each other. And I'm here for it. And I think this is the side of KO that I like the most. I like the promo that they put out. I didn't think, you know, people were saying that it just was cheesy. Oh, he resigned and this is why, you know, like, he's... No. This was good. This is the KO that I like. It sounded like he's some demonic, like, manipulative person who's about to do something really bad to someone soon. So bring it on. Sorry, I lost my chain of thought when the screen went away. I was like, wait, did my like stream freeze or something. So sorry about that, guys.
No, all good. All good. I've certainly never had any technical problems in my whole life. So, but we have
never.
Alex Pulaski here. And I assume he's here to mostly rant about the thing that we already didn't like. But were you just in love with this Cody Rhodes promo like we were?
Oh, it was so great.
Tell us how much you loved it.
You started out by saying, oh, if only we could have seen Harley Race versus Bruno Sammartino.
The history lessons.
And if only we could have seen Nick Bockwinkel versus whatever. Like, he's comparing the top champions of the 70s and 80s in rival promotions who did not do business together with the Monday guy and the Friday guy of the same show at the same time.
Don't forget Goldberg and Stone Cold are equal.
It's like we didn't get to see Harley Race versus Bruno Sammartino, but we do get to see the miracle of miracles, Cody Rhodes versus Gunther
in Saudi Arabia for a fake belt
in the history of wrestling at a Blood Money show. Like, it's very funny that he decided to make that but he also said, I'll tell you why I really want to win this title that means nothing. So my daughter will love me for it. Like, if you distill everything that he said down, it was like, my daughter will have more pride in her father because he went to Saudi Arabia and wrestled for the bedazzled belt. Like, and won it in a match that means nothing. I would like nothing more than for like Liberty Rhodes to come out like 15 years from now on a podcast with their dad and be like, Dad, honestly, I could not have cared less whether or not you won that match. Keep my name out your mouth from now on with me just deciding.
Hear me out on this.
More about stuff.
Hear me out on this. Cody loses and Liberty comes down and slaps him.
That'd be really good. That's good. But that wasn't even the thing I didn't like the most on this show.
Oh, what was that?
They guaranteed that the game 7 match between Carmelo and Andrade is going to be the worst one of the 7.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that to yourself by inserting a special guest referee? Whoever wins, it's going to feel tainted.
Because there's no fourth LA Knight one of these doesn't
get involved in that match. There's no way he doesn't. And if he doesn't get involved in that match, then why is he the referee in the match in the first place? It's a dumb idea. Don't do that.
Between SummerSlam and now, between all three brands, isn't this the fourth special guest referee match that we've had? Yes. That is too many times.
Two in NXT, one at SummerSlam for a Raw match, and now one for a SmackDown match.
Too much. For me, because that's also one of my least favorite stipulations. Like,
but it always makes the match more about the referee.
Yeah.
Than it is about the guys fighting. Because, like, oh, you were a millisecond slower on the count on that guy than you were on me 3 minutes ago. I'm going to get in your face, then you're going to do your finishing move to me. And like, but I just, especially after the last couple of matches, because those were some of the best TV matches on WWE that I've seen in 5 years. And then like, let's make the 7th one basically inconclusive. Yeah. Because it doesn't matter who wins, because LA Knight's going to pick the guy who wins, basically.
I agree.
This is the thing I think I spoke with Kate about when this all started happening, right? It's like these matches that when they find lightning in a bottle, they tend to F up
in a certain way. With it.
Yeah, and it's always been like that. The Claudio and Sheamus best of 7. Yes. That was great, and then ended up, now we're the bar. Now we're friends again. Right. So they always find ways to tinker it and overdo things, by the way. So,
yeah. Alan Jeanette saying this match will result in a 3-way at Crown Jewel. Probably.
Right. Yeah.
Probably. Tim McFell.
I absolutely would not put it past after a 15-minute match, having LA Knight hit a BFT on both guys and then just walk out.
Agreed.
And then Nick Aldis make it a triple threat.
And LA Knight saying essentially what he said tonight. I already beat both these guys twice. Why am I wasting my time? Tim pointing out that Cody's not even a good wrestling historian when he's being a historian, saying Bruno and Harley did wrestle each other on June 15th, 1973 to a 1 hour draw. And that belt is awful. Stop lying, Cody. It's a bad example to Liberty.
It is. It is.
It is. And I'm sorry that Cody didn't check Cage Match. Come on, man. Cagematch.net. It's right there. It's right there. Hey, if you enjoy seeing Alex be sour and you want to see him be sour, but guess what he's being sour about? Much like Cardoza down here, he does not watch the Saudi Arabia shows. He doesn't feel comfortable doing so. But what we do instead is I watch the shows and then we do what we call a Sands of Blind review, where behind the paywall on Fightful Select, I plant three lies into the show and Alex has to guess where the lies are. We go match by match. He has to decide where's the lies, where's the truth. So it's one of our most popular things that we do back there. It's so, so much fun. Such a fun format to do a review with. And Alex has an alarmingly high rate. So I need to get better about my lies. I'm not like Cody. It's not fun for me.
If I do well this time, I'll just be guessing good.
because
if you tell me, for example, Cody versus Gunther, if you tell me KO costs Cody Rhodes the match and Gunther wins, or you tell me Goldberg costs Gunther the match and Cody wins, both of those seem equally plausible to me.
Sure.
So I would just guess which one of those was correct.
It's going to be a fun one. I have a better shot jumping than I normally do.
Bret Hart jumping the rail, spearing Goldberg. No.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But thank you, Alex.
Yeah. Also, Sunday evening, I'm going to review the first of Schlocktober on This Is Cinema, where I'm going to review Kane in See No Evil from 2006. Was a terrible slasher movie. Kate doesn't watch things like that.
I'm a sissy.
She's a fraidy cat. So I'm going to have to try and tell her the entire plot and make all my jokes about it inside of 1 hour. So the last 5 minutes of that is going to be me just rocketing through the whole thing, trying to get through the last 20 minutes of the movie.
Well, to guess what's scarier than See No Evil, right? That's the name of it?
Yeah.
Okay, is that video that they put out on Instagram with DJ and his brother?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. That's scarier than that slasher.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not bringing anything bad in, but don't ever meet your heroes. I'm so sad. I've been heartbroken all week, by the way.
It's a brutal one.
Because he's been my favorite my entire life.
All right. Well,
we should know less about wrestlers, quite frankly.
Yeah. We should.
Thanks for popping on here. We're going to continue with our SmackDown review.
Bye, everybody. See you later.
Join us on FightfulSelect.com for me not watching a movie because I can't handle scary stuff, but also our Sands of Life.
You really can't?
No. Oh, my God. Such a sissy. Such a sissy with that. But guys, get in your super chats and humper chats. We are plugging away here on this episode of SmackDown. We finally get to see the arrival of the Motor City Machine Guns, who beat the Garzas in A-Town Down Under in their debut. I thought it was kind of curious. They spoiled this a little bit on social media. I have mixed feelings on that because I like when surprises get confirmed in person, but I also get that, hey, sometimes that's a great way to get people to tune into your show, is to tell them that the people you think that are coming are going to be there. So this great match, I think Motor City Machine Guns have a really, really great kind of mix between Saban and Shelley. Like, I think that's important in wrestling, is when one tag guy offers one thing and the other guy kind of can maybe play his strengths and weaknesses the other way. I think you see that with both of them, but both of them have this really cool ability to blend some technical foundation with a lot of the more modern style that they brought into things. So some good stuff there. Great debut, great asset to have knowledge for the younger kids, what they're going to bring into the ring. I'm excited to see what happens. I do hope the booking follows suit, but some really, really good tag team wrestling on the show tonight. As far as the teams go, the booking a little questionable, not always my favorite, but to me, felt like they were trying to make a statement with their tag teams tonight.
Yeah, listen, this new tag team, what do they call them? The Motor City Machine Guns. They got a future in this business.
they do.
From what I see, and today being their first ever WWE show and their first match in WWE, I think they could be here for another 20-25 years. So, yeah,
if they can, whatever the stem cell, whatever everybody's using is undefeated. But very, very cool to see.
Kate, they came all the way back to tie it up, and we're now on the top of the ninth. We're up 8-6 now.
8-6. Okay, I saw the chat tell me it was 7-6. I'm very happy, and I'm trying not to be distracted by the ALCS, but I am not
distracted, my friends. I just caught something on the corner of my eye, and I had to tell you because I know we're both, you know, we're sports fans here. By the way, Kate, I hope you know things work out with that little thing, you know.
Hey. Hopefully I'll have some exciting news in the near future about that, but I heart sports. I know that much, but we mentioned earlier that Andrade...
Go pick up that thing you dropped back there.
That's my thing.
Oh.
Well, Andrade and Hayes gets moved to next week, as we mentioned earlier, and LA Knight is going to be the special guest referee. I'm kind of with Pulaski on this, where if LA Knight does call it down the middle as hands off, it's kind of like, what's the point? If he does interfere with the finish, it's kind of like, what was the best of seven even for? Like, that's not great. So, for me, not the best way to go about business. I've enjoyed the first six of these tremendously. You and I have talked week over week about how impressive it is that they've told one cohesive story in those six matches, but all of the chapters have really looked very different, and that's not always easy to do with best of seven series stuff, and they've absolutely killed it. Finally heating up Carmelo Hayes to be the star that we know he can be. Bummed that this wasn't on the show tonight. Bummed that we're getting a special guest referee match for the fourth time since SummerSlam and WWE programming. I just don't like the stipulation because you have referees, right? Like, just have them do their jobs. You don't see referees being like, I'm a special guest wrestler. Come on,
do their job? What are you talking about?
Stay in your lane. I think a referee should be like, you know what? I'm your special guest wrestler for this match. And they should win every time they do it.
Can you imagine that? They start taking off their referee shirt and just like...
just tag into matches. I'm here for it. Are you as down on the special guest referee thing as I am? Or are you kind of like, let me see how it goes first, and I won't get preemptively upset?
Yeah, I'll wait it out because see, this is what happens, you know. And now we're running into a thing where like every month we have a wrestler be a ref, you know. Like let's put the brakes on this for a minute. The problem with this is just that. It's the champion deciding, like you mentioned before, right? So it's not like you have the champion on the side making sure as an enforcer, making sure the match goes down the correct way. There's no, you know, funny business, right? This guy's in the freaking ring.
Yeah.
So you know already, you know there's going to be antics of all kinds that are going to go down. You know, so these two were killing it. And I feel like this kind of puts a little bit of a fridge, you know, like, do we really like
not the fridge?
Why can't we let these two cook? Why do we have to throw the fridge in? You know what I'm saying?
I agree. Stick to the stove. Don't need to throw the fridge.
I love that. Yes.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Cardoza. I get
you. I'm trying to give it to you.
But we've still got our go home segment to talk about. I guess not go home, our main event segment, but it always feels weird to say that about segments and not matches. We've got our women's match coming up next. So get in those super chats, get in those humper chats, leave a thumbs up on this video. Over 4,000 of you watching right now across platforms. We appreciate it so much. Before we kind of finish up here, I will also remind you that the Fightful Awards are coming up at the end of the year. Maybe early next year, depending on the timing, but sponsorship is open for those. We've already sold 12 sponsorships. You guys have been so wonderful and supportive. Spots are $100. You can email me at kate@fightful.com for them, but last year's, we had over 35,000 views across platforms. Beautiful. They're hosted by Sean and Denise. You'll get social media callouts to 500,000 followers. Our social media has exploded. Sean's got over 300,000 himself, plus another 200 on the Fightful account. So plenty of value for that $100. We've been so well supported by the creator community. It's actually something that's really, really yeah. special to me. Jennifer Gray, always, now this is the second year in a row, she's donated two spots to creators who nice. Couldn't afford it. Just, we have such a great community. So if it is something you're interested in, email me at kate@fightful.com. We'll get you set up. You got plenty of time to do so, but if you want to request certain categories, yeah. those are going fast. So
yeah.
don't lose out. Don't lose
please,
out.
For the love of God, vote for me for best clavicles in the universe. Yeah, okay. No, like this yeah. is, it's a must. Like, I'm trying to impress my parents and show them that 40 years into this life, I finally
I made it.
I've made it and I've amounted to something greater than just, you know, saving the world when I was in Iraq.
The military, defending the country is cool at all, but have you seen this guy's clavs?
Mom, have you seen my clavs since I was born? Look at these.
Sincerely, though, another reason to subscribe to Fightful Select, that is where the voting happens. So I think we've kind of hit the nail on the head. I say we, like it wasn't just Sean's idea, but having subscribers be the ones to vote keeps kind of some of the riffraff and the tribalistic voters out, yeah. which I think is good. And I feel like both years that we've had them have been pretty balanced. I think...
Yes.
Last year's more so because the products were a little bit more even. So I'm excited to see what comes from this year. So head over to FightfulSelect.com if you want to get in on those voting ballots. But Nia Jax finds a partner and she comes up handy. We've got Nia mm-hmm. Jax and Candice LeRae defeating Bayley and Naomi here. Naomi's eating so many L's, man. They got to start counting for something. I'm hoping we're getting a heel turn here. But I like seeing Candice LeRae on my TV. It was kind of weird that they dunked on their own speed title. Like, there was a line in the promo that was, it won't even take me 3 minutes to do it. I'm like, you're kind of making fun of your own speed program there, but okay. Very, very happy to see one of the most talented women's wrestlers in the whole wide world on my screen in Candice LeRae. We mm-hmm. talked about freshening up the top of the women's division because they're on both brands feels like there's a very big drop off between the top and mm-hmm. the middle, a little less so on SmackDown, very much so on Raw, but nice to see efforts like this to keep some names feeling fresh up there. What did you think of this match? And are you kind of getting itchy about Naomi like I am? I need her to turn heel or to do something that makes these losses mean something.
Yeah, the women, I think they, I told you this last week. I said it the week before. I feel like they're doing some of the best work right now. They really are. They're putting a lot of effort into absolutely everything they're doing. I'm such a big fan of what, you know, yes, the WWE is giving them the platform, the stage, but they still got to go out there and perform and give you something to believe in. And when I know Nia's not a face, but I'm still behind this run, man. Like,
yeah.
she's really
we're behind
mean.
Her. I think like yeah. this is the best work yes. of her career. She's getting to showcase herself for sure.
Naomi, I don't know if maybe all the losses will lead to something else. You know, whether
a brand switch or
yeah, brand switch or whatever. But it doesn't make sense to kind of bring someone a bright star like her into the mix and have her in these matches against Nia. When you have a strong women's locker room, that you can bring in these other ladies out here to kind of challenge for the title, or even just be part of like this tag team match and or whatever. You know, like it's not needed. I don't think that she needs to be losing. And I understand wins and losses, though. It's pro wrestling. We understand someone's in the back saying, you're going to go over today. You know, and they're like, okay. You know, so.
Especially in that voice.
Yeah,
you're going to go over today.
You're going, okay, go. So you're welcome.
But wins and losses should matter. You know what I mean?
Sure,
and
yeah.
I don't mean that only winners can be in top programs, but the losses need to be productive ones. Yeah. Hangman Page right now in AEW kind of should be losing because he needs to spiral like a maniac who has death behind his eyes. Like,
yes.
I'm fine with Amy losing if it's going to matter.
Yes.
If it's going to matter.
So, like you know, and even, oh, I'm sorry. And even like Naomi to me, I love her bubbly spirit and I love how, you know, she's always down to have a good time. But I feel like in the ring, you know, especially with so many losses, it should matter to her. Like, it should be playing head games with her a little bit. And it should be, something should not be done, like standing on Naya in the corner, dancing and jiggling it or whatever she was doing. You know, like, I think that should have stayed out of this match. And I know it's a, it was a tag team match or whatever, but it still shouldn't be a place because you still ate that L. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And we were talking about long-term stories and short-term things. This is something that could be a shorter term if they are turning her heel because it's taking forever for them to do it. And they could use that for her. So, sure. So I'm with you there. There are two heel champions, so that makes it a little bit trickier. But yes. I think you're leading to a feud with Naomi and Bayley if she does turn heel. So, yes. Like, this is an example of something that could be moved along, which would make me very, very happy. But, guys, we're ready to talk about our main event segment. Get in those super chats and humper chats. Last call for those. I thought the chat that we got earlier that said good but repetitive was kind of where we're at with this for me, too. I liked the beginning of this, and then that darned numbers game kind of always catching up is getting a little exhausting, but I get it. It does make sense, so I prefer things that make sense to things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
But Roman comes out. He says he doesn't see how this version of the bloodline is stronger, and he says that he promised his father he would fix this. I loved that. I thought that was really nice emotional touch from someone who's clearly a face now.
Yes.
He says that he wants to restore the bloodline. He wants gold for everyone's. He wants paydays from the heavens, which anytime someone hints at the pay window, I love. Like,
yeah.
I started watching wrestling in 2009. I love to go back and watch older stuff. So the idea of the pay window just like pops me for nostalgia for a period that I didn't actually watch wrestling, but I love references to pay windows. And Roman says, how do we do this? How do I make it right? And Solo says, easy enough. You just have to acknowledge me. And Roman does.
Yes.
And the crowd chants, no. I love that the crowd, like, even though this isn't always for me, the crowd on the edge of their seat, just being like, so just living and dying by everything Roman Reigns does is undeniably so much fun. But then Solo follows up and says, you have to acknowledge me as your tribal chief. Or else. And Roman says, or else what?
He pops at him. I think he got frustrated. I think, you know, and this is what I mean. Like, the family drama plays out, right? Here he is trying to, like, tell you, like, let's bring the family together, bro. Like, what are we doing? And you're coming out your face.
Loved that. Loved the... Roman Reigns is so good at assigning equal weight to good things and bad things. So when he kind of pops like this, it really does stand out. Yes. And I love that about his delivery. So I love Solo's follow-up here, too. A lot of people haven't loved this run from Solo. I think the last few weeks especially have gotten really, really good. And his promos, when he has someone to play off of, are particularly strong. But I love that he says, see, you never changed. You always just wanted to be the tribal chief. And because you haven't changed, I ain't changing either. I thought that was such a great heel justification for behaving the way that he did. I think it points out that the only reason Roman Reigns is a face is because he went away for a while and came back. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't really changed his behavior. I loved that. And then we see Jimmy Uso being dragged out by the Tongans and Jacob Fatu. As, like, the sacrificial lamb, he got his ass beat backstage. And you have Solo going for the Samoan spike and the rest of the bloodline coming in here. Roman fights off everyone, which I never like that Super Cena-y stuff. But then he goes to pick up the Ulafala, and Solo attacks him, and the numbers game gets a hold of him. And we have Bloodline 2.0 standing tall at the end of this episode. Is a little repetitive from what we've seen for the past few years, but... I I appreciate that it all made sense, and it's just very fun to hear the crowd be so invested.
Yeah, you mentioned something about the repetitiveness of it, and it kind of does, especially with like with the numbers games thing. It does suck, right? But it's the lead up to the build up to what's coming, and unfortunately, we have to live through this now with the freaking again. You know, now it's just reversed. Now the Bloodline 2.0, 2.5, whatever they are now, are pretty much the ones taking the OTC playbook and using it and turn the tables around. Okay. You know, and we're gonna see this happening, my friends, until Survivor Series. We're going to be seeing this, and even when Jimmy and Jay and everyone's in there, then you got to start thinking the group is still not complete. You're missing players. Just 2 weeks ago, we saw someone show up, put the count down to three or something like that, and give them the finger and walked away, you know? So what did that all mean? So there's a lot still left to kind of try to figure out. Unfortunately, like I said before, I think we're just going to have to live with the numbers game and threading that same playbook for a while.
Well, Survivor Series is coming up. Jey Uso noticeably absent from the end of this, too. He's not out there to save Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Which I liked. I liked that. I liked that Jey still has plenty of hesitations. He doesn't like Roman, but he doesn't like Solo either. Like, I kind of like... He's going to need to be warmed back up into things. So we will see. We'll see what's to come. I'm intrigued to see if Cody's on the Survivor Series team. I'm intrigued to see if there's people we haven't seen on the show yet, or if Sami Zayn makes his way back over, or whatever that looks like. I'm excited that my Yankees have won. So yeehaw to that.
We almost fumbled it there at the end again. He kicked the freaking ball as it was rolling towards him over at second base. That would have been disastrous.
Was so good this entire postseason, and now it's like there's only so many times you can go to the well and have it be perfect. But
I just want to say this: we're kind of in the same pattern as we did in 2009 when we won the World Championship. Back then, we lost Game 3 on the road. We lost Game 3 here on the road. We struggled a little bit to win that series. We're kind of doing the same thing again, but in 2 days' time, we'll be in the World Series, my friends.
That would be nice. I would like that. No,
I'm calling it right now. I don't care what anyone says. You can mark bookmark this right now as I'm saying it.
Even though Aaron Boone seems like a lukewarm glass of milk as a manager, I would like this team.
No, he's fiery. He's good. He's good. He's lukewarm with a little bit of a chipotle sauce in there or something.
I'm so sick.
What do you want him to do?
I would like him to discipline his team when they look like idiots on the base paths and keep getting caught in rundowns for reason.
Before we get out of here, are you a basketball fan, NBA fan?
Not really, no.
Oh, okay, then never mind. Well, for years I've been saying the Knicks have been soft, right? And I said that their head coach, Thibodeau, who was with Minnesota and with the Bulls, was one of my favorite coaches because he looks like he'll beat the crap out of you. And he does. And he tells his players how it is. Well, the Knicks hired him, and now the Knicks are good.
There you go.
Maybe you have a point. But I like Boone. I don't know. Boone to me seems he's all right. You know what I'm saying?
That makes one of us. But guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Cardoza. You even have it labeled in your thing here of where people can find you, but you're on IG, you're on the threads. Wrong side. I know, it's always reversed.
Yeah, you guys can find me as the little white thing says right here at the bottom. And if for anyone who's listening, it's Alexis Cardoza on threads and IG. Those are my mainstays right now, especially when it comes to texting apps. I've been 99.9% away from that other place with the bird that died. And I do want to say this. Listen, the holiday season is ramping up. Come check out my new show. That was pretty jolly. We got a very special guest coming up here in the next couple of weeks. That's going to show up on the pod. Show, whatever you want to call it. You can go to thatwasprettyjolly.com where you can subscribe to listen to it via podcast or watch us on the YouTube. Only true clavicles.
OTC,
yes.
Only true clavicles.
I am the only true clavicle.
Guys, you can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media if you're interested in those Fightful Awards. Shoot me a DM there if you want. But you can also catch me on this channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday doing your NXT, ROH, and SmackDown review. Wednesday at the Mark Order Podcast, talking all things All Elite, and Mondays behind the paywall with your Fightful Select Sour Graps review. As Alex said, Sunday evening, we'll be doing me listening to him talk about horror movies because I'm a sissy and can't watch them. And we will also have your Sands of Blind PLE review there as well. So have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We'll see you guys next week.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.